President, I have an amendment.
Send your amendment forward. Has it been distributed?
It was distributed a couple of weeks ago when this first came up.
Hearing no objection,
distributed
the reading will be waived. Would you want to move for the adoption?
And I move for the adoption of the amendment.
You want to explain your amendment?
Thank you. This is an amendment to instruct the state auditor to do a one-time comparative audit of the cost of the death penalty in the in Missouri. It just is going to compare the costs. I believe currently we have 43 or 47 people sentenced to death in Missouri, and as a side note, the state of Kansas recently did it and concluded that capital cases are 70% more expensive than comparable non-death penalty cases. The study counted death penalty cases cost through execution and found that a median death penalty case cost $1.26 million. Non-death penalty cases are counted through the end of incarceration and found to have a median cost of $740,000. So roughly $500,000 on 47 death penalty cases, that's $20 million that we could be saving the state. And with that, I will answer any questions.
Senator from the 4th has moved for the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 1. Does any senator wish to speak on that motion? Senator from Andrew, what purpose do you seek recognition?
To inquire of the senator from the 4th.
Senator from the 4th, do you yield?
I do.
I yield, Senator. You may proceed.
Okay. Thank you, Senator. The senator from Johnson is back here yelping in my ear. I said that you have a killer amendment.
A very distracting environment back there, isn't
it? It's very difficult to actually function when he's around. This area of the Senate seems to function best when he's either up there or in his office, but we just can keep doing what we're doing. I understand what you essentially want to go and look at previous cases.
The bill calls for 10.
10 cases.
Let's take a look at 10. Let's take a look at 10 death penalty cases, 10 cases life without parole, and compare the costs.
Who picks the 10?
The auditor. I'll just leave it up to him.
Okay.
A random sample.
What's that?
It'd be a random sample.
And not having much history in this on this particular topic, share with me. You filed a bill, if I remember right.
I did file a bill. It was heard in committee. Senator from the first committee. It was voted out of committee.
Yeah, the big government committee.
Yep. It's all about fiscal responsibility, the taxpayers' money.
Most of the time.
And it was voted out of committee. Was it unanimous? I believe it was unanimous.
Okay, so it came out of committee when?
Month, 6 weeks.
Okay. All right, I think there are going to be a few questions about it, so I'm going to let that go. I'm going to look and make sure that it fits in here accordingly, and we'll see how the debate here on the floor goes and go from there, Senator. So thank you very much.
Yep.
Senator from Cape, what purpose do you seek recognition?
Senator from Davey.
Senator from Andrew, do you yield? He yields, Senator. You may proceed.
Yes, thank Senator.
Thank you for yielding, Senator. And I appreciate what the Senator from 4th is doing. Just to put this in context, all right, in my opinion, and I don't want to speak for him, he has all the abilities to speak for himself, but what this amendment will do is it will show that it is more expensive for the state of Missouri to sentence someone to death, carry all of those appeals out to death, and actually effectuate a death sentence than to put someone in prison for life without possibility of parole.
Which is, I think, what they've seen in all.
Yeah, I mean, without question. And then once Missouri does this study, that information will be utilized to try to say Missouri should not have the death penalty.
Right.
And my point is, of course it costs more to sentence someone to death. It's a bigger action. It's a bigger activity. It's a more serious decision relative to sentencing someone to life in prison without possibility of parole. The stakes are higher. I would hope we spend more money doing that. Plus, the case law, particularly the federal case law, not to mention the state case law on these appeals, has increased that cost because of the hurdles and other things like direct appeals. There are some people that get life in prison without possibility for parole that never ever appeal.
Right.
Because that's part of a plea bargain to avoid the death penalty. So if you were to take one of those cases where somebody agreed to a plea bargain, life in prison without possibility of parole, and compare those costs associated with that prosecution to a case where somebody fought all the way up to the United States Supreme Court the execution of the death penalty, the costs are going to be radically in wide disparity. It's comparing apples to oranges, not apples to apples and oranges to oranges. And I think that's important in this context. This study is not needed. You could take it as judicial notice. You could take it as axiomatic. You could take it without saying that the costs associated with sentencing someone to death in any state, even the federal government's, because we have the death penalty on the federal level, it's going to be infinitely more expensive, exponentially more expensive than not sentencing someone to death. So I don't know. I'm going to vote no on the senator from the Fourth Amendment. I appreciate what he's trying to do as an individual that's against the death penalty. But it's not apples to apples and oranges to oranges. These studies have been done by
several
states. Not so much states, but outside advocacy groups.
Okay.
Other things that are out there. All they want is they want the state auditor of the state of Missouri, maybe someone that actually supports the death penalty, to have to publish an audit that says it costs more than not. To me, it's not probative in value, the information. It's more, you know, of a staged exhibit, if you will, and an ongoing effort to try to outlaw the death penalty. And I appreciate where the senator from the fourth is, but to me, that's what this is about, because I'll take it as axiomatic that to sentence someone to death is exponentially more expensive than sentencing someone to life in prison without the possibility of parole.
Do you remember the senator said he filed a bill, what the bill number was?
I don't know. I don't serve on the Judiciary Committee. I don't know. I don't know.
I don't think it was sent to Judiciary. It was sent to the senator from the first.
Senator from the first committee.
Yeah. And so I'm trying to remember what the bill number, I mean.
I don't know. But you know what a liberal the senator from the first is.
No, that's my point. Is that if the it doesn't surprise me that the senator from the first is moving this big government agenda. I'm just trying to make sure I, you know, keep an eye on this stuff as he continues to try to grow government. I mean, you see the amendments he offered last week on the budget?
It's
the guy couldn't spend enough.
It's
I mean, it's like...
out of control.
There was definitely one person drunk on spending last week. Thank you, Senator.
But anyway, I wanted to share. I'm going to vote no. I don't know what ends up going, I know what the answer is to this. It's going to be exponentially more expensive.
And rightfully so.
Yeah, and particularly which cases you pick, because it's possible to pick a plead out case where somebody early on said, I will plead guilty, I will waive all of my rights to appeals, I will waive a trial, I will waive all of my legal remedies and rights for life imprisonment without the possibility of parole. And then when you compare that to someone that wanted to go all the way to a jury verdict and trial in a death penalty case, was actually then goes through the penalty assessment phase, then has their automatic right of appeal to the Missouri Supreme Court, and then would also have a habeas corpus appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court, and then you add many of the cases that our own Supreme Court, under the current makeup of, that have wrongfully interpreted the U.S. Supreme Court's Eighth Amendment against cruel and unusual punishment to say, on our state level, that the U.S. Supreme Court has got it wrong, that the Eighth Amendment to the United States Supreme Court, by our state court, as a way in which to, again, not meet their obligations of actually setting up an execution date in effectuating death penalty sentences, delayed further every Missouri Supreme Court case that dealt with the death penalty. This Supreme Court delayed them all by forcing them to go to the United States Supreme Court, where once again, that issue of whether or not the death penalty is cruel and unusual punishment under the Eighth Amendment was settled law again, and the U.S. Supreme Court said that the imposition of the death penalty is not cruel and unusual punishment. But our court in Missouri forced all of those to go to the U.S. Supreme Court because they wrongfully interpreted the Eighth Amendment here in the state of Missouri. So I don't know that you could statistically pick a right comparison. And for purposes moving forward in the debate, I once again would say it goes really without saying that it will be more expensive judicially, legally, to sentence someone to death as opposed to someone that just gets life in prison.
Rightfully so, to your point, right. To your first point. Senator, I appreciate you being willing to articulate the conservative thought process on this, because clearly when the senator from the first ramrodded this through his committee, he must have forgot his conservative Wheaties that morning.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion. Senator from the first, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. Can I inquire the senator from DeKalb?
Senator from Caldwell, do you yield? He does. Proceed.
Did I pronounce that right, Senator?
DeKalb.
DeKalb?
DeKalb.
DeKalb.
The L silent.
Do they have the internet in DeKalb?
Well, they would have more of it if you'd stop filibustering the broadband bill.
Now that we've established just a couple of things, Senator.
That you like
now
to
that we've
spend?
Established that the senator from the 11th,
who's not paying attention
now
to
now that we've established that the senator from the 11th has a file on everybody in the Senate,
yes, he
and
does.
The House, all statewide, and probably every bureaucrat in the state. We have established that, haven't we?
We have. You saw he grabbed it. Grabbed the little file out right
there.
He's
still not
right
paying
there.
Attention to me. But that's all right. Okay, so we're going to go over to what we've established from the senator from Cape, who agrees with me that we don't actually need the senator from the fourth bill, although I thought it was something that was worthwhile exploring. But the senator from Cape has established that it does cost the state and the taxpayers
more
money.
Sure.
To put somebody on death row and to go
and
through that whole
so.
Process.
You bet.
And you don't have any, you don't want to contest that? No. Okay. And that because of what our Supreme Court has done in the state of Missouri, as far as decisions they've made, that in relation to cruel and unusual punishment, in
yep.
relation to the Eighth Amendment of our Constitution, that we are willing to continue to spend more and more of the precious resources of the people of this state when we pass a budget that is, you know, based on fictitious numbers, when we year after year admit that we are short of resources, that we will continue to go down this road. I thought that this was an area where we could save the taxpayers' money. We could be more of a good steward of the taxpayers' resources in making, you know, or at least looking at this option rather than going through all of these hoops and these mechanisms to drag these things out for 10 and 15 years. And it's my understanding that we spend 40% of the public defender's budget on capital cases. 40% of their budget.
Is that every year,
they come before this General Assembly and talk about their caseload and their inability to defend constitutionally those that they're charged to defend.
Is that 40% a real number? Is that like this year's number, or was that in the past? Or
that's my understanding as far as what they spend on capital.
Isn't one of those bills?
I've been looking at their budget for the last 10 years, and they've always been short. But
this isn't one of those deals. Do you remember our former colleague that we served with in the House, Representative Byrd, would get on the floor and would just get going so fast, and would just throw cases out there and mesmerize you and say, well, in this case this happened, in this case that happened. And one day I asked him, Richard, how do you remember all this? He said, I make it up as I go because nobody's going to check me. This isn't a deal, Senator, where you're just making it up as you go because you don't think I'm going to check you, are you?
The numbers sounded good to me.
It did, Senator. Sound very yeah. good. That's why I'm asking.
Anyway, you know, Senator, I do believe that it's worthwhile us looking at what the senator from the 4th has, even though the senator from Cape says, well, it's evident that it's going to cost more to go through all these appeals over a 10 or 15-year period. Of course it's going to cost more. Well, I mean, you know, maybe it takes a piece of legislation like this and the auditor, you know, to look into it. Matter of fact, the auditor doesn't have enough to do, does he?
No, he's bored.
Looking for something to do?
Well, don't worry. This bill, we're going to give him some work here.
Was this a bill that the auditor wanted, by the way?
Yeah, they brought it to us.
And does he need this legislation to actually look into these departments, 5 to 10 departments?
Yep.
And if he doesn't get this legislation, then what is he doing, playing golf?
You know, that's a good question. It's a good question. I don't know. I'm not sure this auditor golfs much.
He's not a golfer.
He seems to be a pretty hard-working.
He is a hard worker.
Yeah, I like the guy.
All right. Well, I appreciate
Senator, for the record,
and I know we have this amendment in front of us.
Yeah, I guess
it's not a big government bill, by the way.
It's
this is actually going to save the state money.
Your rationale often amazes me, but with that said, Senator, I'm willing to let the will of the body prevail here. But I think it was good for you to articulate to the rest of the members.
How conservative and fiscally conservative
your spin
I am
on this less than conservative move.
Spin?
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you did a great job, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion. Senator from the 8th, what purpose do you rise?
Inquire of you.
State your inquiry.
Mr. President, are staff allowed to hand the senators on the side rows papers? I know it was before you were up there earlier, but I saw a member of the staff. A very important member of the staff.
President, if I could inquire briefly of the senator from the 1st.
Senator from the 1st, do you yield?
I yield.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you for yielding, Senator, and I know we jest a little bit, but this is a big issue, and I understand the position that you come from. I myself would just caution that we make any decision relative to the death penalty or its imposition based upon anything other than what we think is just. You know, if we look at just monetarily, we could save a lot of money by not punishing anyone. And we could just let everyone go in our prison. So I think to look at this very difficult issue, very real issue, just from a dollars and cents perspective would not be the best way to look at it. Because we you know, if we wanted to look that way, then we could amend our Constitution and get rid of many of the appeals that we put in. We could get rid of the Sixth Amendment that gives you the right to counsel. We could get rid of the Fourth Amendment to search and seizures that give you rights to limit the introduction of evidence. We could get rid of many of those protections that we put in place because we don't value dollars and cents over individual liberty. And whatever individual liberty costs, we're willing to pay as a society. But I do want, in that context, to make this argument that if we don't have the death penalty, something that is often neglected through that analysis, the death penalty is an incredible bargaining chip for prosecutors that allow to get that plea to life in prison without the possibility of parole, or that allow a life in prison sentence that averages about 15 years if you don't have the without possibility of parole. So it also saves you money because right now people plea to that offense, whereas if you didn't have the death penalty that was out there, they got no reason to plea, if you follow what I'm saying. Right now, the death penalty can be used as a way in which to say, listen, if you don't plead to life without possibility of parole, we will seek the death penalty against you. And in those connotations, individuals make plea agreements. And that helps the judicial economy and to save dollars and the judicial efficiencies that are there. So I hope, and if this amendment goes on, I'll just direct you to the first sentence, and I hope in this context, in this discussion, that the auditor would take this up if mandated to do this. The state auditor shall make a one-time report on the costs, both direct and indirect. It is an indirect cost if you get rid of the death penalty. There will be more people that demand a jury trial for life in prison without the possibility of parole. It will happen. Because you can't get that plea agreement. You don't have anything higher to hold over to them to waive a jury trial, to waive their appeals, or anything else. So it's in that context that if you're here or the auditor asks for any clarifications, if this does go on, I'm voting no. But that we take that direct or indirect, because there is an indirect cost to our justice system if prosecutors no longer have, as a tool, the ability to bring in the most dire and heinous of circumstances a capital murder case against someone.
Senator, I just want to say that. Yeah, Senator, I think you make a great point. And I will, in the event that this does go to the auditor, I will use, and I'm sure the senator from the 4th also, use our abilities to communicate that to the auditor and to his office. I think that you make very valid points. But also, I think that the evolution of this issue in the process, that we have lost the, even though on the one end you say that it is a useful tool to save the taxpayers or money, I think that we've lost the ability for the death penalty to really affect, culture and crime and, lawbreakers, in that when you look at a 10 and 15 year appeals process that ends up costing the taxpayers millions upon millions of dollars and ultimately is not a deterrent for crime, I think that we've really lost.
I think that's your perspective, and that's how I would analyze, and I think is a legitimate way to analyze the public policy debate of whether or not the state of Missouri should have capital murder. I think if you believe it's not a deterrent, if you believe it's wrong, but just to reduce it down to an auditor's report on a dollars and cents, this issue is more weighty than that, Senator, just like individual liberty is more weighty than that.
Well, I mean, I think that is...
And I would say...
disservice, to the idea that we want to look at this. If that's a component of how we make our decision, based on, we have limited resources, Senator.
Right.
I mean, we're looking at rewriting the entire criminal code in this body, to decide.
No,
should we be putting
I totally agree.
So many people into prison based on, what their crime is?
I'm with you.
We're looking at these things.
No, I'm with you, and I think it can be a component into all of that, and I'm not trying to diminish your analytical reasoning at the overarching issue of the death penalty, because I think this is a very, very serious thing. But as we move forward with this, sure, everything can be a component. But I hope that if this goes on in this audit, this is not going to be the reason. And people now hold up. See, a Republican auditor says that we need to do this because it costs so much money. I hope that the argument surrounding whether or not the state of Missouri has the death penalty does not degenerate into that any more than the context of rewriting the criminal code is solely a dollar and cents. There is a component of punishment. There is a component of deterrence. There is the ability of the prosecutor to have that out there to get plea agreements for judicial efficiency down the line on cases as well. That once that is gone, that's not there anymore. And, you know, to say it's not a deterrent or it is a deterrent, I think academicians can write on both sides of that. You're going to have to take the arguments that you think are correct when ultimately that decision is there. I myself would rather have the argument right now on whether or not the state of Missouri should have the death penalty. These additional ancillary things that go on, it's just dance around the subject matter
to try to manufacture exhibits. Let me say this also, Senator, because I don't think this has ever come up either with the senator from Nottoway. I know he likes to rib me on this issue. But, you know, if asked or if the vote was taken today, I have never changed my position. I'm in support of the death penalty.
Yeah. No, and I'm not trying to get
The idea is that I thought this was a reasonable approach to be able to look at it. And I look at the most important thing that I do in this body is to be a good steward of the people's money.
And I'm not diminishing that, and I appreciate everything that you want. And you're moving. I'm not going to be here. If this amendment goes on, I think it's important that you stress indirect costs, because there's a huge indirect cost associated with no longer having the death penalty and prosecutors no longer able to get those plea agreements where they waive a jury trial. Jury trials are incredibly expensive. If all we cared about was dollar and cents, we wouldn't have jury trials. Just take that out of the Constitution, because they're expensive. They're expensive for the jurors, and they're expensive for the taxpayers. If all we really looked at, but that's not the principles. We're liberty first. It's often said that it is better that, 100 guilty men go free than one innocent. And that's where all these costs are. So I just want to say that. Let's get a vote up or down, but I just want to say
three senators standing. Senator from Holt, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I ask the bill be placed on the informal calendar.
That bill will be placed on the informal calendar.